Isaiah 1, verse number 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God's talking. If we be willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Say that out loud. If I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. Amen. Amen. Well, another verse kind of goes along with that. We won't really turn there. I'll just read it. Psalm 40, verse number 8. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. So you see, delighting to do the will of God, willing and obedient, and you see blessings as a result. How many of you know obedience is the emphasis of these verses? I delight to do. How many of you know if your children do what you say, that's obedience? And so he's talking about obedience. Now, you know, a lot of Christians, they want to, well, if they hear about faith, a lot of Christians don't know about faith or don't listen to the message of faith. But those who do listen to the message of faith, they just want to faith everything. You know what I mean? But there's more to it than just making confessions, exercising authority, and so forth and so on. It requires a life of responsiveness to the Word of God, obedience to the Word of God, and obedience to the Holy Spirit. How many of you know faith doesn't just believe the written Word, it believes the Word that the Spirit speaks to your heart? Amen. Amen. And if we doubt these things that the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts, we're in disobedience just as much as if we don't believe the Word and the written Word, and we're in disobedience. Obedience, what does obedience mean? It means be responsive to the direction given. Amen. Responsive or responding to the direction given. And not responding with a complaint. You know what I mean? Notice he didn't say the obedient eat the good land. He said the willing and the obedient. Obedience is the action. The willingness is the heart attitude. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 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 Your parents know it's not enough for your children just do what you say. Yeah. They got to do it with the right attitude. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. My mama believed in spanking. Did your mama believe in spanking? Yeah. We need some more mamas today that believe in spanking. I know mama's here too, but I'm talking about in our culture that, yeah. Well, we don't want to warp them. Well, we turned out all right. Didn't warp us. It straightened us out. Amen. Anyway, you won't get warped near as fast if you're flexible. If you're flexible, you won't get bent out of shape. You know what I'm talking about? When my mama spanked me, I was flexible. Yes, mama. Yes, mama. I'm not going to get bent out of shape because I'm flexible. I mean, you say do this, I'm going to do it. Because there's somebody bigger than you behind you, and that's daddy. And if he spanks you, oh, my Lord. And mama knew how to take care of it herself. But well, I'm telling you, if she needed daddy in on it, then I'd rather keep dad out of it. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Amen. So, but obedience is not just, really, obedience is not just doing it, it's doing it willingly. And how many of you know joyfulness? Joy is an indicator of obedience, of willingness, I should say. Joy. Amen. Doing it with joy. Willing and obedient. How can you tell you're willing and obedient? Doing it with joy. Doing it with joy. Like Pastor Nancy said one time, joy oils the wheels of obedience. Keeps it oiled. No, you don't squeak as much. You know what I mean? Well, I'm doing it, but I don't know. need some joy. We got to get the oil of joy out. Praise the Lord. So, all right. So we're talking about obedience tonight. But really, I'm going to talk about it on a different level than on the individual level. We could spend a lot of time on the individual level. It'll all do us good. But I want to, well, it would. Amen. Praise God. It would do us all good. But I want to talk about obedience on the level of the church world as a whole. Now go over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in 1987, before camp meeting in 1980, was it 87, I believe, and spoke to him. And he wrote a book as a result of it called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And I go back to that book regularly. That is a landmark for my life. It's a landmark for the body of Christ. That was Jesus, the head of the church, administrating the affairs of the church and even warning the church ahead of time of what was getting ready to happen and warning them against it and saying what his plan is and what his plan is not. It's not worship in the flesh. It's not ministering in the flesh. It's not living in the flesh. It's in the Spirit. God's plan for the New Testament church is that we worship, live, minister, so forth and so on, in the Spirit. Say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
Now, we've talked about in the Spirit a number of times. I've never quite been satisfied, to be honest with you. I don't know that I am sufficiently living in the Spirit as I want to. There's still things I'm making adjustments on. By the end of Brother Hagin's life, he seemed to pretty much live in the Spirit. I mean, he's pretty much there. Amen. Well, I'm learning more and more how to live that way. Not just go into that realm, but live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. The transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament was a transition from doing what they did in the Old Testament in the flesh, whether it be worship God, whether it be whatever they did, and it's transition for that to for us to come over and do what we do in the Spirit.
That's good.
Amen. And we have much to learn. The body of Christ has much to learn, and that's basically along that line. But that's basically what Jesus was talking to Brother Hagin about in that book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Somebody asked him after the experience. Because you remember the vision started where Jesus, Brother Hagin was praying, and he started praying plans, and then purposes, and then he got the word pursuits, and then all of a sudden he went into the Spirit and had a vision, and he's standing, and I think it was a week or two before camp meeting of that year, he's standing above the auditorium with Jesus, looking down into the auditorium, and he's seeing the service. And he's seeing some things that were in the flesh, in the service. And Jesus began to talk to him about his plan for the New Testament church is that the church worship God, minister, live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And Jesus started pointing out some things in the service that was in the flesh. Amen. And some people had a cow. I mean, church people. I mean, Word of Faith people had a cow.
Come on.
Well, I was going to say a holy cow, but some of it wasn't too holy.
Yeah. Come on.
Just had a cow.
Yeah. Come on.
And right now, most people have turned away from what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. Most of the church. Not everybody. There's always a remnant. Tell your neighbor, there's always a remnant. And tell your neighbor, I think you're part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, people don't last at a church like this and not be a part of that remnant. Because we're not going along with all the fleshy, seeker-sensitive, do-what-pleases-people, don't-preach-against-sin. I mean, and all the stuff that's going on out there. I mean, I've been doing a little bit of research into what really is going on. I'm starting to get appalled. A lot of it's not even the church. It's not even, they're not even getting people born again. They don't believe in the new birth anymore. They don't believe Jesus' death was substitutionary. They believe it was just something as a suffering for us to follow. No, his death was substitutionary. It was his blood that redeemed us.
Amen.
Not our works. Amen. And I could get into that. But these are Our forefathers that went before us, and I'm not just talking about Brother Hagin, I'm talking about everything that came up to the generation before us. I'm talking about Martin Luther. I'm talking about them all. Everything that brought the church forward into the further revelations that God's brought into the church. All these men. I mean, you just go down the line and name them. You know who they are. The Wesleys, amen, and the Lester Summeralls and the Smith Wigglesworths and the Donald G's and the Howard Carters and Oral Roberts and the Healing Revival and Branham and all those in the Charismatic Revival and just the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit and all those generations before, they all got something in the Spirit from God, from the throne of God, and began to bring it forward into the body of Christ. And God anointed them with a message to get something reestablished back into the church that had been lost in the dark ages. It was in the early church in the book of Acts. Are you still with me tonight? And God used these men, and these are all our fathers in the faith. I'm talking about, you go all the way back to, God's our heavenly Father. We understand that. But you go all the way back to Paul and Peter, and these people are fathers in the faith. And then it comes forward to the generations after that. And then the Reformation that came about in the days of the Wesleys were a part of it, and all these Martin Luther and all these men, and all these were fathers in the faith. They all had a message from the throne of God in line with the Word, not something outside of the Word. But most of that is being thrown out by what's called the seeker-sensitive and progressive church today. The Bible said in Proverbs 24, remove not, I don't have the verse in front of me, but maybe I can look it up here while I'm talking. Remove not the old landmarks. You ever read that verse? Proverbs 22, verse 28. Remove not the old landmarks which your fathers have set. The old landmarks, which your father. Now, back then, they didn't have satellites in the sky that they could make surveys off of and get their little, beep, 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 beep. Okay, here's your corner post, They couldn't do that. They had, whenever dad passed on a farm to his son, he said, okay, you see this pile of rocks right here? And then you see that big land break up there, that big tree sticking out and that land up there? That's where our line is, right from that pile of rocks up to that tree up there. And then across here, you see where that valley goes, and he would walk around there, and it was just a pile of rocks or a tree or something, some building they built or something. That was a landmark, and that showed the territory that was his inheritance. And he said, don't remove the old landmarks which your fathers have set. Well, spiritually, the meaning of that is spiritual truths that have been laid down and established by men who have gone before us, men of the Spirit, not men of the flesh. Men have gone before us in the Spirit and laid down spiritual truths, and get this, and standards. Say standards. That means things like integrity, ethics, what is right and what is wrong. According to the Bible, not according to man's ideas. But today people are throwing all that out, throwing standards out, throwing honor out, throwing biblical truths out, throwing CD sets that they once listened to that fed them and nourished them in spiritual things, throwing them in the dumpster and say, well, that they died now, that era's over. You're a fool. You're a fool. Well, that's the old generation and the new generation's coming forward. Well, sure they are. But what we build is we build on what they got in God. We don't move off of what they got in God. We continue to build on the revelation that they got. I mean, we people say, well, we're progressive. And if you hear the word progressive church right now today, run. Run. I mean, that's the church. That's the group that basically takes people and deconstructs all their belief, everything from the virgin birth, everything. I mean, it's crazy what's going on out there. Well, that's removing the old landmarks. I said that's removing the old landmarks, which our fathers have set. Now, and we should be moving on. We should be progressing in spiritual things. We should be developing beyond where our spiritual fathers brought us. How many of you know we go from the, as the church, we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. We should be continuing from faith to faith. We should be continuing to have more and more revelation. God is, the revelation of God in the earth is supposed to be progressing. And so forth. But a lot of people today are progressing into the flesh off of the old landmarks. You understand what I'm talking about? There is a truth, the Bible said, Paul mentioned it in Philippians. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I press, I reach, you know. There's more to reach for and so forth and so on. There is a truth to that, that we should be reaching for more and progressing. But there's also a truth in Jude 1:3, just one chapter, Jude 1:3. He said, they're content, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Y'all with me tonight?
Yeah.
Contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So there is a truth of we're continuing to move forward, but we are also contending to hold fast to what others have before us, other generations before us, got in God. This is our spiritual heritage, folks. They passed the heritage to us. It's like a dad passing a farm in the old days and say, here's that pile of rocks and this is where the farm is. And he said, don't move those landmarks. So really, if a guy gets up in the middle of the night, let's say the neighbor farmer gets up in the middle of the night and he moves a pile of rocks, and rather than, let's say, here's the line, this is our land, that's his land, he moves that pile of rocks over here, he just stole part of your farm. And that's what the devil's doing today by getting them people to move their landmarks. He's stealing from the body of Christ. He's stealing the ground that generations before us have tilled, and that has been fruitful. It bore fruit. It brought many into the kingdom of God. And he's trying to steal that. Trying to steal the anointing. Because whenever we move off of the Word of God, which there are some of the strangest doctrines in the world today you have ever heard. And whenever the devil is stealing the truths of God's Word from the church, he's stealing the power. He's stealing. Listen, the Lord said to me one time, he said, the seeker-sensitive church is, the way it's described in the Bible, remember Jesus said, salt that has lost its savor. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trampled underfoot of men. He said, the seeker-sensitive church today is salt that has lost its savor. It's worthless. Worthless. Amen. How many of you know salt makes thirsty? And those people don't make people thirsty for God. Also, salt preserves. That's why the nation is where it's at today. People did. Now, I'm going to just say it real bold. People did not listen to the prophet's plans, purposes, and pursuits. Even Brother Hagin's own camp. Not everybody. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a part of his own camp that turned away. Amen. And what is it called? It's called disobedience. Now, in Ephesians, one of the main verses that Jesus gave Brother Hagin in that vision was Ephesians, and then also Colossians, where it talks about the same thing in Colossians. But he said, be not drunk with wine, or verse 17. Chapter 5. Did I say chapter 5 of Ephesians? Verse 17. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be being, you know, it's continuous in the Greek, be being filled with the Spirit continually. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave him this verse in Colossians. There's another passage in Colossians that almost says the same thing. He gave him these two verses and said, my plan for the New Testament church, Jesus is talking, is that they live and minister and worship in the Spirit. And Jesus brought some correction about the worship. About worship in the New Testament. I mean, he wasn't correct. Jesus wasn't correct in the New Testament. He was bringing correction to the church of our day. to come back to worship as it's stated in the New Testament. We worship in the Spirit because there was some fleshly worship going on when Jesus and Brother Hagin were standing in that vision looking down on the service. Square dancing kind of thing. How many of you know? If we dance, we dance in the Spirit. Under the anointing. If it's a worship service, amen, we worship in the Spirit. Amen. And it's not something choreographed. Do the step here, do the step there. No, it's just, it gets all over you and you just got to get it out. Amen. And see, the God's plan is that the church, because somebody asked Brother Hagin after the experience, what did Jesus emphasize the most? He said, undoubtedly, Jesus emphasized the most that it's his plan in the New Testament that all believers be filled with the Spirit and be continually filled and stay full. And he emphasized here by speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. I had a dream, a night dream, which I seldom talk about because people get all wadded up about things sometimes. Being nice. And about some of these same things, I was invited to a service to preach. And in the dream, I'm talking about the dream, I was invited in a service to preach. And I got there, and they had preliminaries and more preliminaries, and then a social event. And I'm sitting on the front row waiting for the service to start, thinking I thought they brought me here to preach. And then they had a social event, and there were people, and they turned the lights down, and it went strobe lights. And people, the bar opened over on the side, and they started getting drinks, and they're socializing, and some of them are doing different things, drinking and dancing. And I'm not talking about dancing in the Spirit. And I'm thinking, what? I thought they had me here to preach. And I'm sitting there on the front row, and I'm just watching everything, thinking, it's about time. It's got to be time for service to start. And it was past time. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on here? And I look up, and Brother Hagin, and this is in the dream, Brother Hagin and Miss Aretha came walking in and came and sat down over kind of on the other side of the aisle I was on. And nobody seemed to really recognize them. And so I thought, well, if they're going to go on and on and on, I'm going to go talk to Brother Hagin. I was trying to wait for the service to start, but if they're not going to do that, I'm going to talk to Brother Hagin. People don't like this, but I'm going to say it. Because in my dream, I was thinking, because this was after he went on to heaven. In my dream, I'm thinking, he's been in heaven. He's been talking to Jesus. I want to know what he's thinking now that he's been talking to Jesus. And so I went over and I greeted him and he greeted me. He just did one of his nods. He didn't talk until I greeted him. And he started talking. He said, and I started asking him. I asked him a question I knew would get him going. And I asked him a question, and he said, well, he said, because I wanted to see, is he still thinking the same way as he did whenever he was here? Because he's been in heaven talking to Jesus. Maybe he got some correction or something. I'm not saying that I thought he was wrong. I'm saying maybe I just wanted to hear. Yes, we're all walking in progressive light, and I thought maybe he got more light. So, and I'm sure he did, but he said, well, and he answered my question by saying, well, Colossians says there that God's plan for the New Testament church is that they be continually filled with the Spirit, speaking and saying. He went down the same line in the dream and just preached to me, just standing there, just preached to me the same thing he was preaching before he left. Hallelujah. How many of you know it wasn't his message, it was the head of the church's message. And it's the Word of God. We look through the New Testament, we worship in the Spirit, we pray, Ephesians 5, or Ephesians 6, we pray in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. Everything we do in the New Testament, we do in the Spirit. And so, there's a lot more to that, and I won't go into it all, but whenever I was awakened, I said, Lord, what was that? And he said, that church you were invited to is not a church, it is the body of Christ. And he said, you are invited to come out to the body of Christ. And he said, I wanted you to hear what your message is supposed to be in the Spirit. in the Spirit.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there's more I won't say because people get all messed up. They get their heads get messed up. Say, in the Spirit.
In the Spirit.
That's a landmark which was set by our spiritual fathers before us. Are you out there?
Yes.
Now, these time-tested truths and so forth don't change. Technology may change and the means we get the message out may change. But the truths don't change. Are you there? So the church is to have the habit of not only reaching for more, but also contending for what was already given to us. Paul said, I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock, and turn men away from sound doctrine. Because Paul had a strong voice in the church, and he was holding people, he was bringing people, he's bringing correction to things. Say correction.
Correction.
And we've got some of these leading voices have gone off the scene and moved on to heaven, and there's not any voices to really bring correction. Amen. Somebody's got to say something about some of these things. And because the church has lost such influence in culture and society, they're now salt that has lost its savor. And this nation is experiencing what she's experiencing because of the condition of the church world as a whole. Amen. I said amen. Amen. There's no sound doctrine. There's no establishing people and discipling people. In fact, one of the people who began what is called the seeker-sensitive movement, he was a leader in the whole thing. After, I don't know, 5, 10 years, I don't remember when it was. I'm going to say about 10 years after he started some of these things. He said, we have not been discipling believers. He said, I don't remember if I can quote it exactly, we've created a monster or something like that. So he said, I'm going to come out with my new book and talk about this. And I thought, listen, if I can't trust you in your first book, how am I going to trust you in your second book? And I never have read the second book. Are you out there? Are you going home? No. No, we got to go back to what our fathers have said. Amen. So I'll tell your neighbor, it's all true whether you like it or not. Brother Hagin said in the vision, Jesus talked to him about what was coming. And he said, they're going to substitute brass for gold. And even in the church at the time, some have substituted brass for gold. And now, if you don't know your Old Testament, you don't know what that means. Whenever the devil stole, enemy kings stole all the treasures out of the temple in the Old Testament, the king that was in charge at the time replaced them with brass vessels. They were true solid gold, pure gold, but he replaced it with all brass vessels. God had said, put gold in there. So he's substituting brass for gold. It looks a lot like gold, but it's not the real thing. And Jesus said to Brother Hagin, the church today is substituting brass for gold. Well, whenever he was on earth, that was already happening. Since he's left, I mean, they've gone from brass to fool's gold to, plastic. Shiny, gold-colored plastic. Amen. I don't talk about some of this a lot, but the Lord put it on my heart. I'm going to get to something here. Now, a landmark is shows the line of where our territory is. Also, if it's a place of orientation. Like, for example, if I say, if you're going to come to our house, I say, okay, you go up here. And, you know, today we've got all the Google Maps and all that, and we don't have to do this. But it used to be, like Proverbs 22 is talking about it. It used to be, if you were going to tell somebody how to get to your house, you say, you go up to this big tree that's leaning, you know. And then you look to your right, and there's a pasture there with cows in it. And you go right there. And then, you just kind of point out landmark. And then you'll come to this big, in our day, we might say, in the big red barn there, you come to the left, and there's a dirt road that goes right after that barn, and you got to go left there. And what that does is when you're on your way to the house that you're invited to, and you see that big red barn or whatever, what that does, it tells you where you are compared to where you're supposed to be.
Right.
Isn't that right? And that's what these landmarks that these ministers that have gone before us, preaching faith, the authority of the believer, the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, divine healing, all these things. Are you with me? In the Spirit, worshiping. God's plan in the New Testament is in the Spirit. All these things. Those are landmarks. And you can go back and listen to how the God revealed that out of the Word. And you know, Brother Hagin wasn't pulling it out of the air. It was out of the Word. He always took us back to the Word. And you can go back and you can look at that and then look at the church today and tell where we are compared to where we should be. And I'm telling you, you can't even see the red barn in most churches today. You know what I mean by that? Hello? Well, this is a remnant church. Amen. I mean, we're holding fast to what happened in Azusa Street. You know what I'm talking about? The outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Signs and wonders. I mean, was it two Wednesday nights ago the Spirit of God moved? And we just prayed for an hour, and Pastor Debbie had things and operated, and different things happened. Well, what was that? That was not planned by her, me, or the front row, anybody. But the Holy Ghost had another plan. What is that? That's the move of the Spirit. That's what Azusa Street ushered in. That's what the Pentecostal revival, the charismatic revival brought us, the gifts of the Spirit, so forth and so on. We're holding fast to that. That's landmarks that we're not moving off of. Amen. Amen. So, it's important that we hear this. Now, the church today, though, as a whole, is disobedient to God's plan and has been disobedient for a number of years. I believe that the beginning of the disobedience was 1987. Now, there's some other strategic points at which the church made some decisions, even further in the wrong direction. But the beginning of it, I believe, was 1987. I mean, you'd be surprised to know some of the things some ministers said, even publicly. Well, now, we're not going with that. You know, anyway, I won't get into all that. But that's just disobedience. And it opened the door to the devil. And much of it has to do with this vision of plans, purposes, and pursuits. In other words, disobedience to that. And so what people have done, that experience started out by Brother Hagin praying out plans, purposes, pursuits. And he was praying out God's plans versus man's plans. So man has moved from God's plan and come over into man's plan. You understand? And they're pursuing their own plans. And that's what this seeker-sensitive thing is. Amen? It's man's plans. Man's plans. Well, we don't want the Holy Ghost to move because it might offend somebody. But I noticed they kept moving further and further from Bible truth in order to keep from offending people. Now they won't even preach against sin. Now they don't even preach the new birth. It's really not the church. Now, Brother Hagin, Dr. Dufresne had a vision and was caught up to heaven, and Jesus said to him that from Galatians chapter number 6, he talks about they that sow to the flesh shall reap corruption, they that sow to the Spirit reap life everlasting. And he said there's two churches in the end times. There's the flesh church, and then there's the Spirit church. Remember, Dr. Dufresne got that by that experience. He was caught up to heaven. And he said, Jesus said, tell the churches, tell the Spirit, Word and Spirit churches to stay faithful, because the flesh churches are going to fall. They that sow to the flesh will reap corruption. And then he said, they that sow to the Spirit reap life everlasting. So he said, I'm not going to put my harvest in the flesh churches. And there'll be a great outpouring of the Spirit. And tell those who are sticking with the Word and the Spirit, tell them to stay faithful. Well, I take that. Praise God. I'm going to stay faithful. Stay faithful. And so, because he said the flesh church will fall. Well, there's things I heard Brother Randy Greer say this. I have the witness about it, to be honest. The Lord didn't say it to me, but I kind of had the witness about it before. And then he said it, and I thought, well, that you know. But he said that the Lord didn't like what was happening in the churches, so he shut them down. Well, look at your neighbor and go, well, you know, he is the head of the church. I said, he is the head of the church. Amen. So, what's happening in our nation today, what our nation is going through today, is not China's fault. It's not the virus's fault. You know what I'm talking about? It's not the government's fault. Don't get mad at government. It's not, I mean, yeah, there's things that we need to pray about, but, and we even did pray and got some things changed here in Iowa. But really, it's the church. It's happening in our nation because of the church. I don't know if you're happy or if you're... The church is in disobedience to God's plan. Amen. And if you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, I've noticed this over and over in my prayer life. I get to pray in for the government, and we are to pray. The Bible teaches us to pray for the government. But invariably, I find myself going right from the government to the church, praying for the church. Almost every time. Now, I don't think it is every time, but a lot of the times I end up going right to the church because the government is where it's at because of the church. What's going on in our nation is in the... And listen, we ain't seen nothing yet. If we don't get this right, we ain't seen nothing yet. I've been... Brother Randy Greer has been saying that, but the Lord's been saying that to me about even then after the election. Because right now, the church isn't paying attention. Some people have to hurt before they pay attention. The Bible calls it being a fool. You know. Amen. Fools because of their iniquities and the transgressions are afflicted. But it's the church. Now, we as the body of Christ, the true church, not the false church, not the fake church, not the religious church that just goes along with the world system, to be honest with you. You ever notice a lot of these people just go along with everything? The true church is going to have to use their faith to get through this. Tell your neighbor, faith works. And if a church or the people of God are in obedience to support biblical things and you know what was put down by our fathers, our spiritual fathers, that church will be in obedience and can use their faith to get through it. Those who are in disobedience, are you following me? Those who are in disobedience cannot use their faith because you can't use faith to override the effects of disobedience. God never intended our faith to be used to override the effects of disobedience. The willing and obedient need to go to the Lamb. Faith works a whole lot better in obedience than it does in disobedience. The way out for people in disobedience is repentance. Turn back to the true gospel. Turn back to the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the blood, preaching repentance from sin, preaching the Bible, preaching faith in God. Are you with me? And preaching the whole counsel of God's word. And get back to what our Father, what the truths that have been set into the earth by those that have gone before us. Now, these are people, it was by the Spirit, but you understand God uses men. You understand. So, praise the Lord. Are you still here? If a man's prayers, remember 1 Peter 3:7, he talks about husbands giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, being heirs together, the grace of life, let your prayers be hindered. Remember that verse? If a man's prayers have been hindered by disobedience to the word, then confessions of faith, exercising authority, things like that cannot unhinder them. Only repentance and returning to the plan of God can. Or, let's put it this way, obedience. Get back into obedience to the word. Amen. Amen. Listen, the devil can only go back out the door he came in. If he comes in the door of disobedience, you can't kick him out with confessions of faith and authority. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. He's standing there and laugh at you. Because he has the right to mess you up. He has a right to attack you because you're in disobedience. Am I preaching all right? Romans 12:2 says, when a man's in the perfect will of God, remember, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Isn't that right? And so the perfect will of God, notice he says the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. There are degrees of the will of God. And Brother Hagin was trying to keep it on before it got off too much. It had already gotten off some. But the Lord was trying to bring, talking to Brother Hagin about bringing the church back into reverence in the sanctuary. Back into worship in the Spirit. And reverence for God and letting the Holy Ghost speak. How many of you know he speaks in those kind of atmospheres? As they, in Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. He wants to say some things. He wants to do some things in our services. He wants to work some things. He wants to, reveal some things. Revelation gifts, utterance gifts, power gifts. He wants to do some things. And it's that atmosphere of reverence that allows him to do that. And Brother Hagin said Jesus was talking to him about reverence and true worship and so forth and so on, to bring a greater anointing and a greater manifestation of the power of God. And but see, the church was, to a degree at that time, out of the perfect will of God. Not completely, but to a degree out of the perfect will. Well, Brother Hagin said Jesus was talking to him in order to talk to the church, in order to bring that back to where God's plan. God's plan was that we worship in the Spirit. And so, but since that time, and since a lot of people, some did, don't misunderstand me, but since a lot didn't listen, now they're, how many of you know things, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse? Things get worse and worse. One degree of deception and one degree of getting off, you just keep going that route, you're way off. It's like flying a plane. You get a little bit off course, and before you know it, you're going to be, you should have landed in L.A., and you're going to be landing in San Diego or something, you know, or San Francisco or somewhere. Keep that track, you're going to mess up real bad. And it gets worse and worse. Well, things have gotten, since Brother Hagin went home, worse and worse. Worse and worse. Amen? Gotten worse and worse. So, they've moved from, you know, whatever was the degree of the will of God they had, to a lesser degree of the will of God. The church, the body of Christ as a whole, when I say they. So, they went from maybe the good, you know, or maybe the acceptable, back just to the good. Now they're just, some of them aren't even the church anymore. You listen to some of these people, and they're not even preaching anything that's in the Word. Not even the virgin birth, nothing. And so you can only have the blessing of God, the anointing of the Spirit, or the blessing of God to the degree you're in the will of God. If you want God's best, you have to do the perfect will of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? For example, I'll give you an illustration on an individual level. I'm talking about the church as a whole, but on an individual level, I remember one time a lady came to healing school at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and she was she had been diagnosed with cancer, and it was getting worse and worse. And so we had a season there where we were not just taking, there was a morning session in healing school and an afternoon session in healing school. And we would have classes, you know, whatever, an hour and a half each time in the morning and in the afternoon. But there was a period of time there before we left healing school. There, we were taking some of them individually that came, because they came from all over the United States. We were taking some of them individually and we were praying with them. In just a side room, just a prayer room. And we just had certain ones on our heart, and we were taking some time to pray with them. Because how many of you know there's more to healing sometimes than just, you know, believe you receive. And sometimes you just have to get into the Spirit and find out what the Holy Ghost is saying. So we did this with this particular lady, and I wasn't actually a part of this. But some of the ones there did this. And while they were praying, something kept coming up in the ones who were leading the prayer time about whenever this girl, this lady, I think she was in her 40s or 50s at the time. Whenever this lady was a young girl, she had received, God had said something to her as a young girl about his plan for her life, but she wasn't in that plan. And you know, God doesn't always reveal. Have you ever noticed it's a word of knowledge, not the full revelation? You know, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, and so forth. And they didn't have full revelation, but they just knew something about whenever she was a young girl that God spoke to her about something, and she got off of that plan. So they stopped and they said, and because, you know, whenever God reveals those things, how many of you know it's for her profit? But what's God trying to do? He's trying to get her healed. And so, well, sometimes it's hard to bring those things up with people. And I'll tell you why, because out of experience, not everybody's happy to hear it. You know, as long as that's covered, we can all act like it's just, you know, I just need to believe I receive and that's it. But no, there's an obedience. Huh? There's an obedience issue. So, well, they wanted to, the people leading the prayer wanted to continue to pray, but the anointing left. I mean, you may as well be saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you, they're just, the prayer's done. And so they realize, well, we're going to have to say something to her if we want the anointing, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, not us. I mean, pray till we're blue in our face. Get nothing without the anointing. So since the anointing had lifted and they wanted results, they said, well, we're going to have to go back to what the anointing was on, and that was this revelation. So they asked her about it. What was it? The Lord just keeps putting something in our hearts that whenever you were a young girl, God spoke to you about His plan, something about His plan, and there's something about you not walking in that or something. And she started crying. She said, yeah, whenever I was a young girl, the Lord called me to be a missionary to China. And she said, I didn't. She said, I wanted to do it, and I planned to do it, but as I grew to marriage age, I met the man of my dreams, nightmares, man of my dreams, and I wanted to marry him, and I told him that I had a call to China, and he didn't want to go. He didn't have a call to China. That's not the man of your dreams, folks. Listen, if it's going to get you out of the will of God. So she said, but I loved him. He was my sweetheart, the man of my dreams. So I decided to marry him, see if I could talk him into it. And he never wanted to go. And so I've been in disobedience all this time. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe a teenager. I don't remember the age the Lord spoke to her, but up till 40s or 50s. Been in disobedience. 30 years or more. Amen. Think of the mercy of God. See, God speaks something and he doesn't forget it. People can forget it, but he doesn't forget it. You know, how many of you know he doesn't have to say it every day for it still to be his will? He said it once, and that's enough. And they said, well, what are you going to do about it? And she said, well, you know, and she just hem-hauled and didn't really, anybody know what hem-hauled means? And because she just couldn't bring herself, because it would affect her marriage. But she just couldn't bring herself to do that. Well, what's the alternative? Somebody said, well, did God put that on? Absolutely not. She's on the devil's, she's in disobedience on the devil's territory. And she can't claim God's best. God's best is divine healing. You know why the Lord brought it up? Because he wanted to heal her. But see, he can't give her his best whenever she won't do his perfect will. See, it's not just faith and confession and authority, it's obedience. Well, we're talking about that on the level of the whole church tonight. Are you following what we're doing? Are you understanding? She died of cancer because she couldn't make that adjustment. I'm sure went to heaven, don't misunderstand me. But what? Think about the loss of rewards. God didn't bring that trouble she got herself in. Amen. That only came after years of disobedience where God could no longer protect her and give her his best. Amen. Say, God didn't do that. Now you can understand why whenever I was driving, we traveled 1 year of traveling ministry and then had a week or 2 weeks off for Christmas at the end of December that first year. And then after Christmas, we got in the car to go back out and travel more. And I was grumpy. Remember that? I'm driving down Highway 44 going from Tulsa up to Missouri. And I'm grumpy because I didn't want to be out there. And I wanted to be back in healing school, you know, and I'm grumpy. And the Lord, and she's, Pastor Debbie's sleeping. I'm driving. And the Lord said to me, he said, you're mad, you're angry at me. Now, 3 seconds before the Lord said that, if you'd have said, are you angry at God? I'd have said no. lying through my 26 of my 32 teeth, you know. Some of us have had some teeth pulled out. Anybody got some teeth pulled out? But God said, "You're angry at me." And as soon as he said it, I knew I was mad at God. But he said, "You think I knocked you down a notch? Because I was in healing school and I'm somebody." Ooh, yeah. But they go out, we go out in the road and who and nobody knew us. Pastor Jay and Debbie Abbey, and then they'd mispronounce our name. And it was fun. It just, amen. So, but he said, "You think I knocked you down a notch?" And he told me, and he showed me exactly where I was mad at him, where I was angry. And he said, "You, that's the reason you struggled so much the first year of ministry. You did it, but you weren't willing. Because financially it was a struggle." You know, I said our income went up so much, but so did the bills. I didn't tell you that part. The bills went way up. Anybody still here?
Yes, sir.
And I said, "Lord, you're right." I said, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And he said, I said, "What do I do?" He said, "You holler at the top of your voice right here. 'I delight to do your will, O God. Yea, thy laws within my heart.'" That's that verse I read tonight. And so I started hollering, and he said, "You hollered three times." I said, it woke her up. She's like, "Whoa, what?" And I'm hollering, "I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy laws within my heart." And when I said it the third time, something in here broke. And I started laughing, and I got joyful, and I started shouting and praising God for the privilege of going and preaching the Word of God, and just got flat happy. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter what the will is. If it's tithing, if it's helps ministry, if it's just when the Spirit cues you to pray, you respond to that. Whatever it is, we just respond joyfully. Hallelujah. That's what this era is going to be ushered in by. It's by people that obey, that are obedient and willing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 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 Now, here's something we see in Isaiah 1:19. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. There's protection in obedience. Amen. No wonder Brother Hagin would say, "I never have been sick unless I was in disobedience." Well, that's a challenge for us, isn't it? So there's protection in obedience. We're kept people. I mean, I've watched some people swerve from the plan of God and get out on the devil's territory, and the devil, boy, he whacks them, and I realized, my God, they were so protected. We're all so protected. We're all so kept. Hallelujah. I told one of the workers that was working back here, we did one call. We called Alliant out of a prompting of the Holy Ghost. "Are you sure there's not more cables down there when we're digging holes out there? Because we just sense there's more down there." "No, they showed them all to you. We you know where they are. Just dig. You'll be fine digging right there." Dug and hit a 12,000 volt cable. I told him, the one running the machine, I said, it's good you're in obedience. 400 volts, is that right? Can kill a man. 800? 50 millivolts can kill a man. 12,000 volts. That'll fry an elephant. That'll fry a herd of elephants. Kept by the power of God. I said, kept by the power of God. We are kept people. Remember the Lord said to me that there was a spirit of destruction trying to get into this church? I see it almost monthly. Something tries to get to somebody. We are kept people. We are kept people. But listen, disobedience, things start happening that should not be happening. Amen. The only people I want to bury at Spirit of Faith Family Church is people that are real old and lived out their lives. And that's the way it's going to be, but we have to be in obedience. That's where we're kept. Amen. Praise God. I said, praise God. It blew out. They heard it. Blew out a fuse. How far away was that fuse? Half a mile away over there? Boom! And a big fuse blew and smoke went up. That's what it would have done to the person. Thank God for the power of God. How many of you can raise your hands and just thank God right now? We did everything we could do. We got one call out here. We actually called a lion a second time and said, "Are you sure there's not more?" "No." And then nothing else down there. And it was. Wow. Then he came out and showed us his map. Well, it was there. I said, I told the workers, I said, "You tell the guys, a lion, whoever's out here." I said, "You've moved beyond just, now you're liable for my people's lives."
Yeah.
You knew that and didn't tell. I got. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we're kept. Tell your neighbor we're kept. We're kept people. But disobedience gets us off of that protected hedge, out of that protected territory. Amen. Amen. How many of you know Psalm 91:11? He gives his angels a special, this is the Amplified, special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. That's where we're kept. That's where we're preserved. That's where angels bear us up in their hands, in our ways of obedience. Listen, you're more safe in the will of God in a war zone. If you're in the will of God, you're more safe there than you are living here in the central middle of the United States. Glory to God. If that's where obedience is for you. Thank God. Some of these ministers that try to defy the government, going out, saying we're going to have church anyway, whenever their church is in disobedience to the true gospel, you're going to sit in jail. No angel deliverance is for you. Like the book of Acts. But listen, there could be some people that rise up and say, "You're not the head of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is. And we're going to have service if they're in some of these places. If they're following God and in obedience. We're going to see some angel deliverances out of that." That's the day we're living in. We're going to see it. The book of Acts is going to be nothing. Hallelujah. Listen, our life is sustained for the purpose we were born for, in obedience to that purpose. It's not sustained by doing our own plan. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, part of God's best is long life.
Yes.
Amen. And you and I need to know that that's connected to God's plan. Remember, God said to Pastor Nancy, "Tell my people that long life, longevity is connected to my plan." That's where all the angel protection is. That's where divine healing is.
Yeah.
That woman in the healing school, she couldn't claim that. She was out of the place of protection.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if one thing hinders our prayers, something else can't unhinder it. Amen. Amen. The activity of the enemy doesn't just stop for those in disobedience, the same way it does for those in obedience. Can I finish this up?
Yes.
Satan's activity is stopped by repentance and returning back to God's plan when a person is out of God's plan. Amen. All we can do for folks that are in disobedience is pray for them and warn them as the Spirit leads. Amen. This is really what one of the facets of the prophet's office. That's why you see like Brother Randall Greer rising up and speaking these things so strong. Because he's operating in the office of the prophet. That's the office of the prophet. You read Isaiah 38 and verse number 1-5. You see there where Isaiah came in and told Hezekiah, "Set your house in order. You're going to surely die." And it was a warning of what's coming without making some changes. Amen. See, Hezekiah couldn't just faith his way through that. He had to make some changes. And he did. You read the whole account. He made some changes. I think we got to hear this. There's more to healing. There's more to all of God's blessings. There's more to God's blessing on this nation. God's not obligated to this nation just because the church wants to do something else. He'd have to repent to everybody else that he didn't protect. No, it's not because of just he loves America. It's because of what the church does in America.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor Jay. So you see that also. And then Ezekiel 3, verses 17-21. You see the prophet's ministry, God saying, if I say to you, you go tell the righteous that he's got iniquity and he's going to die, then you're going to have to obey me. And if I tell you to go tell the wicked, and you're going to have to obey me. And if you don't, their blood will be on your hands. And if they repent, then they'll be restored, and I'll be able to bless them. But if they won't repent, that's that Ezekiel 3. He said, if they won't repent, then even if they die, and if you've warned them, their blood's not on your hands. You've gotten yourself off the hook, so to speak. So things have to be said sometimes. Amen. I mean, God's not saying things because he wants bad things to happen. He's trying to get us off of the territory of the enemy. Amen. And so that's the way it happens in the prophet's office. They warn people through revelation gifts of the Spirit of what's ahead so people can make adjustments. And they minister through those revelation gifts. Amen. Brother Hagin said he only warned people about what he knew whenever the Lord spoke with that more authoritative voice. He said if he just had the witness of the Spirit, he didn't necessarily go to him. But when the Lord said, with the more authoritative voice, he would go. He knew he had to go. And he said the reason was because if God spoke in that more authoritative voice, he said the reason was because they were closer to danger. You know? How many of you know what I'm talking about? They didn't have much time, in other words. Their opportunity to get it right was coming to an end. Revelation chapter 2. You remember that? I gave her space to repent. Revelation 2. What is that? Verse 20 or something like that? That prophetess that was preaching wrong doctrine and stuff. I gave her space to repent. This is in the Bible. I know the grace emphasis people don't like it, but it's in the Bible. Sometimes there's a cause for some things. Remember 1 Corinthians 11? For this cause, many are weak and sickly. Some things are not just faith our way through it, exercise authority over the devil. Some things, there is a cause that has to be changed. In other words, something has to be repented from. And so, whenever God says, or he speaks in that more authoritative voice, danger is closer. And the opportunity to get it right is coming to an end. Amen. I sense that urgency in the Spirit about our nation right now. Danger is close. Socialism is close. Marxism is close. Anarchy is close. Total loss of any organized government is close. It could be one election away. The things that are on the docket and being proposed right now are asinine. No nation can stand with that. It's close. It's a wake-up call. The church better wake up. Amen. Amen. And get it right. Yes. Amen. And so I'm talking to more of the large body of Christ at large than I am just this congregation. But if it applies to us, let's get it right. I don't want to just assume we're doing everything right. I think one thing the Lord's saying to this church is pray. Yes. Pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. When the end, he spoke it with the authoritative voice to me just last week. The end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch and pray. Yeah. I've been praying like I haven't prayed for a long time.
Come on.
And getting all kinds of things. Praying all kinds of things.
Amen.
And I'm asking this congregation to be a church of prayer and to enter into prayer about where we are right now. Yeah. Amen. Praying for the church. Praying for Acts 9 events.
Yeah.
Remember the Lord said that. This is a year of Acts 9 events. What is Acts 9? Acts 9 was one of those visitations of angels that changed the direction of the church. Jesus appearing, changing the direction of the church.
Amen.
Praise God. Or Acts 10, Acts 9, down in through there. Amen. Praise God. I'm preaching myself happy tonight. Hallelujah. Now, the story of Brother Hagin falling and breaking his arm is what Brother Randy Greer brought up. And I want to mention it and then we'll close. The Lord said, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't prevent it because I didn't want to. But rather than being angry at me for not preventing it, you should be thankful that I allowed the enemy to do it so that I could get your attention. That's what Brother Randy Greer was saying. That's what the Lord's saying. He's doing, some of these things he's allowing and he's not sending, and COVID-19 didn't get sent by the Lord. The Lord didn't shut the churches down, but he allowed it because he doesn't like what's in the churches. And so he said, I allowed it to get your attention. The Lord's trying to get this nation's attention.
Yeah.
If I hadn't gotten your attention, you would have you would not have lived past the age of 55 because you would have continued on the path of my permissive will. Now listen, in disobedience. Look at that. Just not being in the perfect will is a measure of disobedience. What's that do? It limits the full blessing. That's interesting. You know, some of these people don't catch up to, these things don't catch up to people right away, and they don't quite realize that these are connected. Now, I want you to notice this. I'm closing. But Jesus said this further to him. He said, "This is the third time I've had to deal with you about this." Oh, that's interesting. So he had spoken to him about it a couple of times before this. Not through accidents, but just in his heart. The dealings of the Spirit. He didn't go into detail. I don't know if it was the inner witness. I don't know if it was the authoritative voice of the Spirit, or I don't know, something Jesus appeared to him. I don't know. He didn't say how the Lord had dealt with him twice before. But I want you to see something. God's preferred way of correction is for just to speak to us and us to make the adjustments. Are you here tonight? Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying? And he did that through men of God, through men of God today. He's still doing it. And he did it in the previous generation. He did it through Brother Hagin. He did it through Oral Roberts before he went to heaven. He had a vision and saw a huge explosion over New York City. Most people forgot all about it already. He called it the wake-up call. He was speaking through his servants, trying to get this nation to wake up. I'm not here to make you afraid tonight. I'm here to wake you up. I mean, we're walking in some light, but let's pray for the rest of the body of Christ, because it's getting serious. It's getting dangerous. So the Lord's preferred way is to speak to us and us to correct ourselves just on words, not spankings. You know what I mean by spankings? Not COVID-19 kind of thing. Not upheavals in the government and the economy and all kinds of anarchy and riots and stuff that's starting to happen. Are you still out there? Hallelujah. And what's he speak to us to do? To bring about our obedience. To bring about a correction. Amen. Are you still there? Are you still listening? But when a man doesn't respond to that, it opens the door for the enemy. Remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin in that vision, "I didn't do this. I didn't cause you to break your arm." Or it was really out of joint. But "I allowed it." Now somebody said, "Well, why'd God allow it?" Well, he could not fully protect Brother Hagin because he was in a measure of disobedience. You know, if God kept blessing all of us in disobedience, he would be blessing our plans. And he can't bless our plans. He can only bless his plans. It's important that we understand these things, that we have the kind of maturity we can understand this and not get weird about God sending sickness and disease. He's not sending it. It's from the devil. But some things he will permit. How many of you know, because Job opened the door to the devil, God allowed some things to happen. But it wasn't God sending it. You understand? It was Job opened the door. See, God will allow what we allow. And in disobedience, we're allowing some things. We're permitting some things. Anybody getting it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so what happened is, and this happens to all of us at times, I guess, is if a person doesn't respond to the leadings of the Spirit, then we get ourselves in a pickle and open the door to the devil, and stuff starts happening that should never have happened. That's why I said, I'm so glad. I hear probably at least once a month something happened, and it could have been disastrous, but the person was kept. I'm just imploring us all, keep the door closed. That's not a fear tactic. That's just an awareness that the devil's going about in the last days with great wrath. He knows his time is short. But we can just be totally kept. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's me, totally kept. Amen. But sometimes God allows these things. If we, especially we open the door, we're really the one allowing it. God allowed it, yeah, but we allowed it. He'll allow what we allow. And so it opens the door to the enemy to attack. And which usually gets our attention. Anybody notice that? You ever been laying flat on your back in a hospital bed or flat on your back in bed and with a pain going down your leg so strong you can't get out of bed or something like that? Usually you go, okay, God, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
I do.
Yes, sir.
Smart people do.
Come on.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Did I open the door there? What's going on here? I've had the Lord tell me, well, here's where you open the door.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Sobering tonight, isn't it? But usually that gets our attention, and usually God doesn't send those things. But here's something that I've learned about God. He will take advantage of an opportunity to talk to us because now we'll pay attention. Now we'll pay attention. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's times I got knocked real hard, and I'm like, okay, God, shush up, God, what is it? Oh, my God. Now I'm tuned in ways that I wasn't tuned in last week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
smart people do that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of Mariah Woodworth Eder. She just didn't want to, God kept calling her to preach, and she didn't want to go. She didn't want to go. And she got to the place, she was sick, I don't remember what it was, some disease. And she got to the place, she was in the room in the hospital right by the morgue. In other words, the morgue's the next step. And she's laying there on the flat on the whatever, the gurney, whatever you call the thing. And I think they gave her up to die. And she heard the voice of the Lord. Now will you go? Now she's interested. I mean, you get interested whenever you get down flat on your back. And she said, yes, I'll go. God raised her up, and she went out and had a powerful ministry. Actually, all over Iowa. Powerful ministry. Praise God. God didn't send that. She opened the door to that through disobedience. Remember Dr. Lester Summerall? He didn't want to get saved. He didn't want to preach. His mama kept praying. He didn't want to pray. No, I don't want to. No, no, no. And he got tuberculosis. Ended up flat on his back, dying, coughing up blood, coughing his lungs out, you know. And he had a vision the night that God showed him he's going to die that night. He had a vision. Over here is the coffin. Over here is the Bible. And the voice of the Lord came, now tonight you choose. He said, well, man, if that's the choice, I'm in for preaching. And he was healed. Praise the Lord. And got out on the, at 17 years old, got with it. Went to preaching. Preached his whole life. He didn't want to get tuberculosis. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to have to grow and realize that our life is not our own. We're bought with a price. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is different. This is different than just being attacked by the enemy when you're on the territory, the obedience territory, when you're walking in all the light you have. That's a total different thing than disobedience. When you're walking in all the light, you can exercise authority, use your faith, and the devil's got to run. But in disobedience, all he'll do is stand there and look at you and laugh at you. Amen? There's a difference between the devil attacking you in obedience and you opening the door in disobedience. Amen? Well, praise God. The Lord gave me this right before I left the house. The hour is urgent. The time is late. The laborers are few. All hands must be on deck. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth to those he can use. Looking for those he can use. He's looking for a man. Is that man you? Will you be obedient? Amen. One thing he's looking for is for people to pray right now. Ezekiel 22 talks about that. There are some things getting ready to happen in the nation. In Ezekiel 22, 30 and 31. And he said, I look for a man. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. That it wouldn't come. And he said, I found none. Therefore, the judgment came. You can see God's will. He didn't want it to come. Because he's looking for somebody to pray. So that it wouldn't come. Well, he's looking. Is that you and me? Let's be responsive. If in the middle of the night you wake up and there's an unction to pray, don't say, I'm tired and roll over. Be obedient. Obedience. How's this era going to come? It's going to come through consecrated, obedient, and believing people. Amen.